time to open up the vault of history and allow Felix Bonnell to emerge. Trout fishing season opens up on Washington's lowland lakes this Saturday, and so our resident historian went fishing around his bookshelf for a prized catch, a mostly forgotten encyclopedia of Washington lakes, first published more than 60 years ago. I'm holding it in my hand.
Isn't that cool?
Right now.
It's one of those books, the heft of it is very cool, and that sort of that green leatherette cover with the gold embossed.
Just the sheer amount of data and diagrams and pictures.
It is
overwhelming.
It's very edifying. Now, this is a two-volume set of books published by the state of Washington by an agency no longer around called the Department of Conservation. The books are called Lakes of Washington. Not exactly Bridges of Madison County, but bear with me here. There's one volume for the west side, one for the east. Ton of aerial photos, lots of maps, vital statistics, or something like 8,000 lakes, location, acreage, brief description. Now, I've had a set of Lakes of Washington for years, and I'll admit I only looked at it a few times, but I always wondered how it came about, and I finally read the author's preface and did some digging in the newspaper archives to learn that Ernest Wolcott spent about 40 years as a civilian gathering information about Washington lakes because he loved to fish. And then he got hired by the state in the 1950s to translate all he'd compiled into these books. Now, Wolcott had a pretty amazing 20th century life, born in Kansas in the 1890s, came to Washington as a teenager. He was a maritime radio operator, was actually aboard the passenger liner, the Governor, when it sank off of Port Townsend in 1921. He was way ahead of his time. He organized civilian emergency preparedness in the 1930s in Seattle by creating a network of ham radio operators. He had his own radio shop here, served in the Navy during World War II, retired as a captain in the Naval Reserves, and passed away in 1977 at age 78. Now, I was curious if anyone at the state still had these books or knew about them. I found one guy at Fish and Wildlife who had bought copies on eBay. I also found Will Hobbs, a senior environmental scientist for the Department of Ecology. He knows Lakes of Washington, you know, the actual lakes themselves, and these books because he inherited copies on the shelves of his office when he went to work for the state 10 years ago.
They're pretty pristine, like they've sat on shelves for quite a while. But they've got sort of, you know, there's definitely some wear on the spine. There's usually, you know, a name crossed out, somebody else's name, like this one I'm reading. It's Case Siders. Crossed out is James Heckman. So it's passed through, you know, at least three people's hands.
You know, Will says he doesn't consult Lakes of Washington on a regular basis, but he does thumb through them occasionally. He says the content is still relevant, particularly the specialized maps, which help scientists like him figure out where to drill core samples.
The material that's contained within them, you know, is certainly still in use within our agency and within other agencies too. And in particular, the maps that are compiled, the bathymetric maps, the depth profiles of the lakes are particularly useful.
You know, he used that word bathymetry or bathymetric map, and I asked Will to explain what that is.
It's like an upside down topographic map, right? It tells you where the sort of deep part to the lake is and where the shallow parts. And in the old maps that are contained in these books, it's all usually in 10-foot contours. So it gives you a great sense of the shape of the basin underlying the water surface.
You know, and he's right. Lake Langlois is a place near Carnation. I used to fish with my dad like 40 years ago. And sure enough, right there on page 170, there's a bathymetric map of Lake Langlois. I had no idea that the lake actually goes down to deeper than 95 feet. It's kind of terrifying. You're sitting on that little lake, you think it's maybe 10 feet deep, but it actually goes down very deep. And Will says the field surveys that he had to do to collect that data back in the late 40s were very laborious. Guys literally going back and forth across the lake many, many times, lowering down a weighted line and then measuring how much line had been fed out to create these incredible profiles. Very analog. Now, Will's a scientist focused on the microscopic world, but he also clearly appreciates the scope and scale of what author Ernie Wolcott accomplished with these books. Now, the data is interesting, but I asked Will if Lakes of Washington gives him any sense of what Ernie was like as a person.
My first impression was that Ernie was a particularly meticulous personality. I mean, you know, you don't compile something like this unless you're really interested in the details of a lot of things. And that's, you know, that would be my first impression. To keep it going, too, I would think that he's probably a stubborn person, too. I mean, he wouldn't...
In a good way.
In a good way. In a good way. Yeah, maybe I should change that. I will call it dedication. It's dedication to the work, really.
You know, and tracking down family members of Ernie Wolcott was tricky. He does not appear to have any living direct descendants. Thanks to our friend Lee Corbin, who always helps out with research on the show, and who's actually sitting in with us this morning, I was able to talk to a woman from Hillsboro, Oregon, whose grandfather was Ernie's brother, so he was her great uncle. He died before she was born, and her grandfather and Ernie had not remained close later in life. Her grandfather passed away decades ago, and her father passed away in 2016. It's kind of interesting because the existence of Lakes of Washington came as news to Shannon Wolcott Clough, and it made her feel pretty good to find out more about Great Uncle Ernie.
When my dad died, I kind of had that moment of being like, oh my gosh, I'm the last of the lineage, and you know, what is there to really show for it? You know, and kind of had these moments of being like, I'm proud of my dad, I'm proud of my grandfather, but like, who's going to know us, you know, and just to hear that we have a family member. And I've heard of Uncle Ernie before, but I just didn't realize that he did all this amazing stuff and wrote books. And I mean, that's incredible to hear. And if my dad were around, he would be tickled pink. He would be so happy to hear this.
Yeah, it was gratifying to talk with Shannon. I'm sending her copies of all the newspaper clippings and other stuff that Lee and I found about her great uncle. And it's also pretty cool that a modern day scientist like Will Hobbs appreciates Ernie and Lakes of Washington, too. Will said the U.S. EPA does a national survey of lakes every 5 years. It's pretty broad, though, and it's rare to have as grand an effort like what Ernie Wolcott did more than 60 years ago. So I asked him if that spirit of Ernie, you know, the meticulousness, the stubbornness, the dedication, is something worth resurrecting in 2024.
I think so. Yeah, we all need to harness our inner Wolcott.
So again, I'd love to see Lakes of Washington elevated to cult status, you know, something like Bridges of Madison County. Maybe the movie rights could get optioned and you could sort of kind of do this sort of
I see Green Lake's only about 20 feet deep.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. And the contours are fascinating because you sit on a lake and it's all flat and smooth. Obviously you realize
it's the nature of water.
Yes, but anyway, it's
my
amazing.
Question is, according to the prefaces, there's 3,813 lakes and reservoirs in Washington. So why is waterfront property so expensive?
Yeah, well, some of these, when you say lake, sometimes it's just like a little 5 foot deep kind of a muddy pond, right? That's different from being on Puget Sound or Lake Washington. So
classic
anyway,
it's
a classic. Lakes of Washington, if you want to find a copy, look online. They're hard to find. They're getting more expensive by the moment since we brought so much attention to them.
Absolutely. I'm intimidated just even to be touching it. Felix Bunnell, all his features at MyNorthwest.com.